Community Matters, solutions to local issues and leaders who are making a positive difference.
Hey, it's Megan from The Morning Show. Thank you for joining for another edition of Community Matters. I'm so excited for this week's interview. I'm talking with Shep Robert with Beyond Boundaries, which is based in Richmond, Virginia. And it's just a really cool organization that works with all sorts of individuals with intellectual, developmental, physical disabilities, but also at-risk youth, veterans who are battling addiction, things like that. So just really sort of all-encompassing. And I'm very excited to share with you everything that I've learned from Shep through this interview. So without further ado, here it is. Shep, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm so glad to have the chance to talk with you because Beyond Boundaries sounds like such an exciting organization. And I'm wondering if you could just tell us a little bit about how it got started and really just basically what it is.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. Totally. So it's a nonprofit based out of Richmond, Virginia. And what we do is we try to provide outdoor adventure and environmental education opportunities to really people in the community who don't traditionally have those options or have them that frequently. There's a lot of financial and physical barriers to the space that we work in. And so we try to break those barriers down. So we provide rafting, fishing, hiking, climbing, really anything outdoors to individuals with disabilities, that's kids and adults, at-risk youth, substance recovery programs, and veteran organizations. And really half of what we do is based around the community opportunities. And then the other half really is about building our community stronger through inclusion and getting community partners and volunteers involved so we can really create a space to bond and see each other for our abilities rather than disabilities.
I love it. How did it get its start? How long has it been around?
So this is our eighth year as a nonprofit. A little backstory, my co-founder, Kyle Burnett, and I went to Radford. We're outdoor therapeutic rec majors. We worked out in California after college and worked for an organization, Environmental Traveling Companions, that really kind of pioneered the space and adaptive and outdoor recreation. And when we moved back to Richmond, we wanted to volunteer with something like that. And after doing research, we realized there really wasn't anything around in the Richmond area. So we just decided to start it.
Oh, that's awesome. Was it something that took off pretty quickly or did it take a while for you to get footing in the community?
A little bit of both. I mean, I think it like any business, you know, it took a lot of work. It was a side hustle for quite a amount of years, quite a number of years for both of us. But then it really, once we started to pick up momentum, it really just skyrocketed. Like our first year, we ran in 2015, we ran two trips and worked with 15 people. And wow. Then this year, just to give fast forward, this year we'll do almost 100 trips and probably work with about 3,000 people.
That is insanely cool. When you mention trips, can you talk to me just what is the trip that you're talking about?
Sure. So most of our trips are, we like to call them adventures, but, you know, we call them trips or programs, adventures. They're opportunities. They're 2 to 3 hours in the community, at the local park, at the James River, going whitewater rafting or taking a pontoon cruise throughout the James or going kayaking or fishing a local pond. Really, it's a time to do something recreational fun and then that maybe gets us out of our comfort zone or maybe it's just more of like a hobby or a passion or something that we're trying for the first time with, you know, community members that maybe we don't socialize with traditionally.
What has the community response been over the years? Like, and is this something that has been like super positively received?
Oh, insanely positive. And insanely positive almost on every side, from the participant side, from the volunteer side, from community partner side. We're so, so thankful that people just continue to reach out with, I've got a group that would love to be participants, or I've got a lot of time that I want to volunteer and give back, or, hey, we're a new business and we want to get involved. Like, how can we help? We have people reaching out, thankfully, to really help support us in a number of ways.
That's cool. And I definitely want to dig into that a little bit later, because I know that we love to give our listeners opportunities to get involved. But before we get there, let me ask, are you like seeing a lot of the same people, like a lot of repeat customers, as it will, or is it mainly new faces that you see trip by trip?
It's a little bit of both. Our return rate is almost 100%. Groups we take out pretty much come back every single year. The only change is they want to come back and do more. So if we can find funding to provide those opportunities, you know, a group might come out with us once or twice a year, and the next year we'll get maybe 5 or 6 trips with them. But then there's also a lot of new organizations that are popping up, a lot of new nonprofits and for-profits that work with groups that we serve and work with that reach out, or we're introduced to them and we reach out saying, hey, this is who we are, this is what we do, and we'd love to partner up somehow.
So I believe that the term that you used was environmental educational opportunities, and correct me if I'm wrong, but does that mean that, that most everything that you do is outdoors then? So is it only happening in the summer?
That's a great question. So everything we do is outdoors except for indoor rock climbing. So we do operate throughout the year, mainly, October, November, December, and then a little bit of January, February is indoor rock climbing. But everything else is, Richmond allows us the weather to at least hike or fish or paddle or something for the majority of the year.
Awesome. Very cool. You had talked about these are opportunities for us to see each other, for our abilities instead of our disabilities. So that leads me to ask, who are you serving? Like, who are the participants that are really taking part in Beyond Boundaries?
Yeah, it's really everyone who, if you were to go out and kind of paddle or hike, you don't see represented right now. So I'd say probably about 70% of who we work with are kids and adults with disabilities that could be physical, cognitive, or developmental. We might work with people who use wheelchairs for a number of different reasons. Last week we took 30 participants completely blind out whitewater rafting.
Oh, wow.
So we work with Down syndrome and autism. So it's really all abilities we work with. Our programs are very specific to our groups and individuals' needs and goals. And we have a lot of conversations based around, like, what are you looking to get out of this? Have you done this before? What are you excited about? What are you fearful? How can we, hit your goals and make you comfortable in this space that maybe you haven't been before or that often? So we really, we might run 100 rafting trips in a year, and there are 100 completely different trips because each participant is there for a different reason. So about 70% is probably people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. And then the other 30% is made up of some socioeconomically challenged youth, some at-risk youth programming, veteran programs, and then substance recovery, the groups who are in drug and alcohol rehab.
I love how inclusive this is. Like, it's even bigger than in my mind what I thought we were talking about. So this is really exciting. Let me ask you, because I've done some volunteering with organizations that work with adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. So I know that there takes... It doesn't have to be completely trained medical staff on hand all the time. But I would imagine that there are some volunteers who might be a little bit like squeamish, like I wouldn't know what to do. So I guess, what do you look for in people who are able to help? What types of volunteers, what skill level do they need when you're looking at people to help you? Like, I mean, on whitewater rafting, for instance.
Yeah, that's a great question, and what we get pretty often from people who reach out. And really, I'd answer it, it depends on the program. So if you want to come hiking and volunteer on a hike, then really, the way that we help with that is more of a social ask, I guess. There's not a lot of gear involved and stuff like that. But when it comes to safety, like rock climbing, you have to know how to belay a rock climber. And then whitewater rafting, all of our guides, our paid staff, have gone through swift water rescue training, CPR, first aid, whitewater guide school, stuff like that. And volunteers, we ask that you're competent in your whitewater abilities, so that people are helping out with the strengths that they bring.
So essentially, if somebody wanted to help out, there's likely a place that they could fit in regardless of skill level. You'd probably be able to find a place to fit them.
Oh, all the time. Yeah. And typically what I like to do is, if people reach out just because they love our mission and want to help, but don't know how, like, I'd like to start them with something that's like a hiking program or a fishing program. Like, it's pretty easy for me to teach you how to put a worm on a hook and take a fish off a hook. So even if you haven't been fishing before, we meet our volunteers traditionally about a half hour before the group shows up. We go over the group dynamics and the goals and all that stuff, answer any questions. And then when they get there, we have fun. I will tell you that another question we get is, I love paddling or I love climbing, but I don't have a lot of experience with people with disabilities. And maybe that volunteers feel, unprepared or a little uncomfortable, maybe not being around people with disabilities. So one thing we offer to our volunteers a few times a year, and actually it's a program that we offer up to the community, is a disability inclusion training. And really it's a conversation-based training that we've developed that really we run through scenarios and some games, activities, and present questions and ask for answers and go down these these conversation trains up so that people feel more confident showing up and socializing with someone who maybe they haven't met someone who's blind before and they don't want to say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing.
Fantastic. That sounds perfect. And I know that that would ease up a lot of concerns from people who want to help but just don't know how. So you've talked a little about the growth that you had over the years. I'm curious, do you have any plans in the near future for growing even more or opening up to more services or like even regionally expanding?
Yeah, so a little bit of everything that you just mentioned. We are growing a lot, so we actually just brought on a full-time program manager, Katie McLernan, and she's our new program manager that's going to has already really taken off and taken the facilitation under her wings, which has been great. So staff is one way that we plan on growing because we just have a huge number of groups and individuals reaching out for programs, and right now we're a little bit limited just with the hours that I can give and that Katie can give. So I think staff is one. And then we're starting to have groups outside of our, like, two-hour bubble that are reaching out and hearing about us and wanting to do programs. And some of the stuff, like, we can't bring the James River to Northern Virginia, but they can come here. So they'll come here and adventure with us. But we are talking about how can we serve groups outside of 2 hours when they can't get here and for programming.
Amazing. One question I wanted to ask, just because, I mean, you are talking about being outdoors, you're talking about being maybe even in small groups that maybe have close contact during the activities. We're still dealing with COVID. So are you taking any sort of precautions with the participants, anything that people need to be aware of in terms of COVID safety before they participate?
Yeah, I think it's, we make it known that this is, we talk about challenge by choice all the time with the adventure. Even COVID aside, that, people are able to do what they feel comfortable. So we definitely have had groups and individuals that the first, like, kind of 5 years that we were running programs were pretty active, and they still haven't felt comfortable coming back, being around other people kind of outside of their bubble the last 2 years. And we've thoroughly missed them, and we hope that they return sometime. But so people, no one's forced to show up. But then because, like you mentioned, we're in the outdoor space, we have so much room to spread out. And, we've got, it's so much more comfortable for people to be outside rather than indoors, four walls and a ceiling. And I think that's one thing that COVID has kind of shined a light about how beneficial and therapeutic from a physical standpoint and a social and emotional standpoint, how beneficial being outdoors is. And it almost solidified our mission of, we can benefit so much from being outdoors, and a lot of people don't have those opportunities. So it's even more important now that we've learned how powerful being outdoors and being in nature and therapeutic it is for us, because everyone had to do that for the last 2 years. And now we really need to make sure that everyone has these opportunities moving forward.
Fantastic. Now, you had mentioned that some of your participants are, at-risk youth, but you've also talked about veterans. So that to me tells me that you've got a pretty wide age span that you work with. Are there specific age limitations in terms of who can get involved?
Not really. I'm trying to think. I don't think we've ever told someone no. I mean, there is, when it comes to whitewater rafting, there's a stretch of the river for safety and liability reasons that they've got to be a certain age for one section of the river, but we have other alternatives for the river. But besides that, 5 to 95, we'll work with anyone who wants to come out.
Amazing. From the participation standpoint, if somebody's interested in going on one of these trips, one of these adventures, how do they find out more?
It typically starts with a conversation with me, and people reach out either my email or the general Beyond Boundaries email. And people say, they give me more information than I'm even looking for at the beginning, which is great. It's a great foundation to that conversation of what the best fit for them and their goals are. Basically they tell me about themselves or their group or their family. And we just have a conversation to see what works, and then we open the calendar up, and we schedule it. That's one thing that kind of separates us from other programs, is that we don't have, like, an open registration where you go on and sign up. Everything is very specific to the group or the individual that reaches out.
Have you ever had a situation where somebody decided they wanted to do an activity, wanted to join in on one of the trips, and then midway they're just like, nope, this is not for me? And how have you been able to handle those situations?
Yeah, I like to say that we're very good at adapting. And so, it's something that a lot of these programs might put people out of their comfort zones, and stuff like that happens. And it really just depends on where we are. If we're at a pond and and people are feeling a little overheated or just not, you know, they're just not digging it at the time, then it's easy to kind of cut that program short and say bye and thank you, and we hope to see you again. And we tend to. But then there's, you know, when we're whitewater rafting, if we're halfway down the chains, we can't really just turn the boat around and paddle back up. So what I like to really do is paint a very clear picture to the groups or the participants prior to meeting them in person. So that all the questions are really answered in their mind so that when they show up, they understand what's going on and what the options are.
Perfect. And I would imagine that the answer to this next question probably changes based on the activity, but how many individuals are participating, like not from the volunteer side, but actual participant side on the various activities? We're talking small groups, large groups?
Yeah, we do a fair share of larger groups. And when I say larger groups, I'm talking, 20 to 40. Mm-hmm. But most of our programs are pretty small, pretty intimate, and we like to kind of cap them the 10 to 15 range. And it just allows us to get to know people a little bit deeper and spend more time. When we're in a big outdoor space and you've got more than, 20 people recreating and having fun together, that spreads out pretty quickly. So we like to keep it a little more intimate and spend some time getting to know participants. So typically, I'd say an average program is about 10 or 12 participants.
And do you have a ratio in terms of how many volunteers or staff members who are working with that size group?
That really depends on the group, their goals and their needs. Sometimes, let's say we have a group of, 12 participants, and the needs are more of just like a social and interactive need. And I might, we might get, 2, 3, 4 volunteers. And then sometimes where we have needs that are a little more physical, maybe we're helping transfer someone from a wheelchair to a kayak or a canoe, and we need some more strength around to help with that, we might do a one-to-one ratio. So it really just depends on the group.
Excellent. Thank you. All right. So I want to dig back into a part of the conversation that we touched on earlier, which is basically the support that Beyond Boundaries receives in order to function. So talk to me about the business partners. Like, what is their role in what you do? Is it funding? Is it sponsorship of specific programs? But talk to me about that a little bit.
Yeah, so it kind of is a number of different answers. We do have businesses in the community that just want to strictly sponsor. So they're like, they align with our mission and they want to help provide opportunities, but they don't want to go on trips. So they can stroke a check and it provides a lot of opportunities, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. Then we have businesses that want to do that, but they also want to get involved. They want to kind of come out and give their employees a half day off and do something fun and get to see their dollar go a little further and meet the participants. So they'll act as the volunteers on that trip too. So those are kind of two ways that businesses like to get involved, and we like to get as many people physically involved because we want them to see how powerful this is and how meaningful it is, and to meet the participants and really see the smiles in their faces and catching the first fish and getting nervous, scaling a rock climbing wall and then feeling so proud they did it. I mean, that's the memory that's going to live with our volunteers and our sponsors for a long time. And then we have our business partners that help out with kind of the overhead. So we partner with rock climbing gyms that give us a very good discount. Mm-hmm. Peak Experience and Triangle Rock Club. We partner with RV Paddle Sports, an outfitter who they cut us an extreme discount for rafting. So there's also businesses that partner with us that help us with the financial side. Kingfish Boat Club, they have boats out of Osborne Landing and they donate their boats and gas to us. So, there's a lot of groups that help out on the financial side as well.
Beautiful. Thank you. And then in terms of just the community support, do you do fundraisers to help with Beyond Boundaries, or do you just have people who just, send in money, whether it's directly or through the website? How does the community get involved in terms of financially supporting?
Well, I'm a little bit of everything. We do some small pop-up fundraisers here and there. We've got one at actually Basic City Brewery. It's an outdoor film event tomorrow night. And we have a large fundraiser that's a big festival called the RIMBY, right in my backyard festival. And that's where we bring basically like anyone that we know that has a business that we work with. We'll have like 30 vendors out there at Libby Mill. This is October 1. We have a band that'll play and a barbecue competition and food truck and drinks and prizes and games and really try to get our community together to have fun together. Grants are something that we're starting to receive more of, which is pretty powerful, and they go a long way. And then, traditional donations from community members. They might be, you know, volunteers as well, or maybe they don't volunteer, but they just help, you know, with donations through the website or stuff like that. So it really, we get support from the community in a number of different ways, which is pretty amazing.
Awesome. I was going to ask if there are any non-monetary ways that the community can support, but I know that we've already talked about volunteering. So if somebody's interested in doing that, what's the best way for them to approach that?
Yeah, so two things. So we have a button on our homepage. Our website is beyondboundariesrva.org. And on the homepage, there's a button that says donate, a button that says volunteer. You click it and you can, it's a really quick pamphlet to send out. And then what we do is we send out emails about every 2 or 3 weeks with upcoming events. And we like to tell everyone as much as we can. This is the event. This is the group. This is the time, location. Give them all the information. And then it's an RSVP, and we get people volunteering on the programs. But you did speak of like non-monetary support. Gear is something that we have a lot of people reaching out who love or who are very passionate about one of the activities we do. Maybe it's hiking, and they have some backpacks they haven't used in years and would like to donate that, or fishing and fishing gear. So a lot of people's personal gear that maybe they don't use, it's been sitting on the shelf in the garage for 20 years and they just haven't gotten rid of it. That's something that will help us a lot, because then we don't have to go into our budget to replenish that gear.
That is incredible. I would not have even thought about that as an option. But yeah, it's, especially if you're doing like some spring cleaning or summer clean out the garage, it's a great way to kind of offload that stuff, but have it be a blessing.
Oh, totally. And you know, that's one of the things that if you really think about, you know, the outdoor space is very expensive. Gear is expensive. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's quality stuff, but not everyone has those opportunities. So like people who do have multiple, and I'll admit I have more than one fishing rod. I won't tell you how many I have, but I have more than one. But people have more than one of something and haven't used it in a long time. We could probably put it to good use.
Oh, so good. Awesome. Well, Shep, I actually don't have any more questions. I think that you have answered everything that I have. I would love for you to give the website again, just for, you know, anybody who didn't quite catch it earlier. But also, if there's anything else that you didn't get a chance to touch on that you want to make sure is covered, go for it.
Perfect. Yeah. So our website, beyondboundariesrva.org. The best way to learn about what we've already done is follow us on social media, which is Beyond Boundaries RVA for Facebook and for Instagram. The best way to follow up or to learn about what we're going to do is to get on our email list. So again, beyondboundariesrva.org and that volunteer button. And then if you want to reach out to us specifically, our email is beyondboundariesrva@gmail.com, or you can reach out specifically to me, which is Shep@beyondboundariesrva.org, or Katie, which is Katie@beyondboundariesrva.org. And really, we love our community. It's insanely supportive. We absolutely love what we do with the community as far as services and programs. Anyone who might share a passion in what we do, we would love to have you join our community and help out, volunteer, donate, sponsor, whatever that might be. And I just appreciate your time and letting me talk about something that's close to my heart.
Fantastic. And for those who also want to check it out, we are going to be having this interview posted to our website, WPER.org. Just click on Community Matters. And we'll also have links to those email addresses and the website as well. Shep, thank you so much for your time. This has been really, really cool.
Thank you, too. I appreciate it. And for your weekend.
And that concludes another edition of Community Matters. Thank you once again for hanging with us today. And of course, if you'd like to hear audio from any of these interviews again, you can do so right on our website, WPER.org. Have a great day.